Morning, everybody. I hope you're having a good day. I hope things have gone good for you this week. We had a fabulous vacation Bible school. Everything went real good. Don't think we had any mistakes at all. We were just perfect. You learn to adapt with vacation Bible school, but really appreciate Lamar and Velvet and David and Jackie and others that were involved in that. We had a lot of people involved in it. I think they had fun. They were all tired. It's one of those things where you like to see it coming, but you're glad when it leaves because you're just so tired about everything. And so we're just glad to have everybody here today and hope you're here with your father if possible. If not, then just think about that for just a little bit. We're going to talk about fathers. Somebody said, it's Father's Day. What are you going to talk about? And I said, well, thought I'd talk about mothers. They're a better subject than fathers. But we got to talk about fathers too. I started to come up and say, I'm a perfect father. But Jeff decided he would come today. And I'm afraid he would stand up and say, I'd like to talk about that. Because I'm not. And don't worry about it. You're not either. We wish we were. We wish we could be perfect fathers. We wish we could. That's what we strive for. We'll go to seminars. We'll read books. We'll listen to people. We'll do whatever we can to try to find out how to be the best father we can be. At least I hope that's the way you look at it, because it's a wonderful thing to have a child. It's a wonderful thing to have the direction of that child in your life and to try to do the best you can at that. And how wonderful it is when that works out, and it works out for your good, but how wonderful it is that you have that child. We're going to look at a passage today. We are going to be looking at perfect fathers today, but don't worry about it. I'm not talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about another father. John 3 and verse 16, God. God is the perfect father. And I think in this one little passage, there's so many things there that we can learn about being a father that will help us to be better fathers today. And so why not, if you want to find out what the perfect thing is look at the perfect example. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to look at the perfect example of what a father really is. Now, if you want to turn to John 3 and verse 16, that's all right. If you don't, that's all right too. It's a short passage. Most of you know that passage already, and you probably got it memorized. And you memorized it when you were a little child. Maybe your mother or father helped you to do that. Maybe it was a teacher that helped you to do that. But we know that passage. For God so loved the world. If you don't know that God loves you, you're in trouble. I don't care what you do. I don't care how far in sin you get. I don't care how far you have walked away from God. God loves you. Amen. I'll get that one. Y'all just let that one alone. That in mine. Because God does love everybody. Now, as fathers, we need to learn to love our children. You say, now, wait a minute. We love them already. Yeah, we do. But we need to learn to love them even more. Some fathers, you know, they love their children so much, they love them even before they're born. I saw this father one day. He got down and put his ear up to his wife's stomach. He was listening for that little child. Why do you love those children so much when they haven't done one thing? They're not even out yet. They can't talk. They can't work. They can't do anything. But why do you love them? Because they're yours. God loves the world because it's His. We fathers love our children because they're ours. If there's one thing that even a bad father does generally, is that they love their children. Now, they may not do it exactly right. They may not do everything just like it's supposed to be, but they love their children, they care for their children, and they want them to have the best. God loves His children. And we as fathers, we love our children. We love our children so much that we're willing to do whatever we need to do to try to help them to be the kind of people they need to be. We care for them in so many ways, and we want to try to do that. If there's one problem we have as fathers, and it continues even today, I want to think it was worse in the past, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know. We need to learn to express our love for our children. We don't do that as much as we need to. You say, well, they know I love them. I let them live here. Well, the dog lives there too. The cat, Do you love them like you love your children? I don't think so. But we've got to learn to show love. We've got to learn to express love. Now, do we just think, well, they should know that? Well, they may know that, but they need it confirmed by you. So you need to express your love. In this passage here, God said, I love you. How much did He love us? He gave His Son. That's what He did. That's how much He cared for us. That's how much He loved us. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Somebody said, yes, and they were kicked out. Yeah, but you look at what God did. God made clothes for them. He had prepared a world outside that world for them. Their punishment was not something to hurt them, but to help them, to teach them. Fathers need to discipline when children do wrong. That's true. But do it in such a way as to help that child be a better person and to help that child be a better person in God. We've got to learn to do that. And we learn to do that because of the love that we have. Now, we know God's love. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, it tells there the children of Israel. Why did God choose the children of Israel? Did He choose them because they were a great nation, that they were an obedient nation, that they were a nation that wanted to follow His way? No, God loved them even though they weren't the biggest. In fact, He said, you're the smallest one. But He loved them. And He cared for them. Now, lest we forget, He did not just love the children of Israel. Sometimes we think, oh, He loved the children of Israel. That means that they're up here somewhere and everybody else is down here. No, that's not what God wanted. God took one nation and tried to help that nation be as good as it could be with His direction, with His guidance, and they weren't as good as they could be. But then He tried to help them and He tried to help everybody else. When He opened up the church, He said, I don't want just the Jewish nation in this. It's opened up for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You can have all you want. You can have all of God you want, you desire. God wants that because He loves you. We need to have that kind of love for our children. Love them in such a way as we need to help them to be the best people they can be. Now, look at this second thing here. Got to come over here and push this button. Did that come up there? Okay. The next part of this verse says, God so loved the world that He gave. Now, God was willing to give. He was willing to give His Son. He gave to His children. Now, fathers, you need to give to your children. You say, boy, am I already doing that? Yes, you need to do that. Yeah, we need to give them a car. We need to give them money. Any of your children want to stand up and say amen to that one? Okay. We need to do that, but we also need to give them that spiritual encouragement too. We need to teach them how to use what they have. Some parents just give their children this, and they give them that, they give them all this stuff, but they don't teach them how to use that, and they get lost in the things of this world. Don't do that. Help them to understand what's good. Help them to understand the things that they need, but also help them to understand how to use what they have. That's what God was trying to do. He was trying to take His people and help them to understand how to conduct their lives, how to live in the right way. That's what we've got to try to do as parents, as fathers especially, is guide and instruct our children in every way. God loved His people. He has always loved His people. There's never been a time. If there is anything that your children should not question, fathers, it is your love for them. Make that clear. And it's not based upon them doing what's right. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? But you love your children no matter what. This is an unconditional love. That's the way God loved. Did He love people because they obeyed Him? Uh-uh. Because most of them don't. But He still loves them. You love your children no matter what they do. You care for your children no matter what they do. And you let them know that you love them. That may be one of the strongest things to help them to see the right way to go. Because they know it's there. You be a father that's willing to help them to know and understand the right way to go, and you do that because you're walking the right way. You need to help your children to see an example of what a father really is. Some children have never seen a good example of a father except in someone else. They need to see it in you, fathers. You need to be setting an example for the spiritual leader in your family. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing what God wants you to do. It's not just that you provide for them. It's not just that you provide food for them. It's not just that you provide clothes for them. It's not just that you provide everything else for them. But it's that you provide that spiritual training and spiritual instruction. You help them to see the right way to go. God the Father, He loves us. He cares for us. And you, listen, you can't do anything. You can't do anything that will cause God not to love you. Now please understand, He will punish for wrongs that are done. But He does it with a love to try to help the people to understand the right way to go. That's what He was trying to do, is to help those people to understand that. When He talked to the children of Israel, when He talked to His churches in the first century, He wanted them to know that. Help your children to know that you sacrifice for them too. There was a bachelor that came over to his friend's house. His friends had a baby that was about 3 or 4 years old. And the little baby was walking around. That father was looking at it. And finally, the bachelor said, "What do you keep looking at that kid for?" He said, "There goes my boat." He said, "What do you mean there goes your boat?" He said, "Listen, by the time I get those doctor bills paid off, I'm not going to be able to buy a boat." He said, "And then when I think I'm going to get enough money to buy a boat, he's got to have braces for his teeth. And by the time I get those things paid off, and I think, okay, I'm getting a boat now, he's got to have a car because he's got to drive. So I've got to buy him a car. And then about the time they get that car and I get it paid for, they got to go to college and got to pay for that." The father looked and said, "There goes my boat. But I like that better than I do my boat." You got to sacrifice, fathers. You got to give up your time. You don't just come in and give money and that's all you've got to do. If that's what you do, you're not being the right kind of father. You give your time to being a father. You give your effort. You give whatever you have. You give your training. You learn and you find out what you need to do to be the best father, and then you try to do it with everything you have. You try to set the right example. You try to live the right way. You try to teach everybody what is right, but especially you try to teach your children. Our children should hear the words, "I love you," often. I don't know if we say it enough. Maybe we don't say it any, but we need to. We need to learn to be able to say that and help them to understand. Your Heavenly Father has tried in every way He could to show you that He loves you. Now, fathers, that's our example. That's the example of a perfect father showing that he loves his children. That's what we've got to do. Now, look at this. A father has hope for his children. He has aspirations of what they might be or what they might do in life. That they might be a doctor, a lawyer, or Indian chief, or whatever. They have those hopes. And that's all right. That's great. And we need to help to direct our children in the right way. We need to teach them where they need to go and what they need to do. But let me tell you something. You can't live their life for them. And you should not try to live your life through them. I've seen some fathers that, man, they wanted their kids to play football because they didn't get to play football when they were coming up. So their kid was playing football, but he didn't want to play football. Or maybe she didn't want to play football. I don't know. Don't try to do it that way. But you try to help them and you give them a hope. John 3 and verse 16 said that whosoever believe in Him, trust in Him. We've got to help our children to trust in us. And that means that we're trustworthy people, but it means also that we're people that are trying to help them to go the right way and to do the right thing. We're trying to train them in such a way. God expects us to do that. God is trying to do that with us. And so we've got to be those that we do that. Now, there are certain requirements that we have to meet, certain responsibilities that we have. I want to mention about three here, I think. He isn't unreasonable in teaching us how to live. You know, your kid may be different than you. Your children may be totally different than you. You may like farming and they may not want to farm. And it's hard to say, wait a minute, that's what I want you to do. No, we can't do that. We want to try to open the doors for them, to help them to know what is good and what is the best way to go. We need to try to train our children. When I think of this, I think of Eli the prophet. He was a prophet of God. He taught the Word of God, but he didn't teach his children the Word of God. Something was lost there. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Somebody real smart might be able to figure it out. But his children were not those people that served God. And in 1 Samuel 2, God pronounced the punishment for those children. And it was a grave punishment. But the punishment was greater for Eli. So help your children to know the right way. Help them to understand the way they need to go. But don't be unreasonable in that. And then secondly, we need to be those fathers that are men of faith. Men who trust God. Men who depend upon God. And our children know it. It's not just that we come to church on Sunday and we act a certain way. And maybe our kids are looking up there and said, that's not the same guy that was at the house the other day, was it? We need to try to act better. And act like God's people, no matter where we are. And then a father has a responsibility to be a good example. I think Joshua is the greatest one I think of when I think of this. When Joshua was willing to speak, and Joshua said in Joshua 14, verse 15, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Now you got to decide what you're going to do, but this is what we're going to do. Fathers, we need to make up our mind that we're going to help our children to be the best spiritual people they can be. We're going to encourage them in that. We're going to try to teach them. We're not going to push them. We're not going to force them. But we're going to try to help them to know the right way to go. You can't do that if you're not doing it. That won't work. Generally, it just won't work. So you be one that's, you're giving that right kind of an example, and you're the one that's showing the right way to go, and you've already made a decision. I think one of the reasons that God chose Abraham was because he knew Abraham would teach his children the right way to go. Maybe the reason he chose all of Israel, because he knew he was going to be teaching his children what's right. You say, well, how can you do that and do it perfectly? Again, there are no perfect fathers except one. But you try to do the best you can. That's more important than any job you have. It's more important than any money you can reach. It's more important than any accolade you can get from the rest of the world. It doesn't make any difference what the world thinks of you. If your sons and your daughters don't like you, you're in trouble. It's not worth it. Not worth it at all. So we need to be the people that are doing that. A father prepares his children for the future. A father prepares his children for the future. Here it said that this Father God has prepared us. He has prepared the future for us. He wants us in heaven. He's done everything he can to help us to go there. And it's kind of like us as fathers. He can't force you and he won't force you, but he wants you to do that. He wants you to be in this. He wants you to walk this way. He wants you to live this way, but he can't force you to do that. Fathers, don't force it on your children. But you set such an example that they can't go any other way. And you let them know that this is a part of the way you live your life. Jesus said, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have that everlasting, eternal life. That's what God wanted for his children. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your children do. If that's not the most important thing, it's a failure. Your children have got to be people of God. But you can't force it. So you live it, and you pray as hard as you can for your children. Every prayer you pray, you let it be for your children. You let your prayer, those words, be uttered there. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I command you to do? Why do you do that? The people did not have that respect there. That respect of your children is right at the top. Right at the top of things that we need. And that'll be the things that we'll cherish more than anything else. Christianity isn't about trying to find God. We mess that up. Everybody said, oh, we're searching for God. Let me tell you something. We couldn't find Him if we were looking for Him. What it is God reaching down to help us. It's God searching for us. Will we be found? I hope so. I pray so. Let's reach down to help our children. Let's help them to know the right way to go. God had a vision for His people, and He showed them a little bit of the vision, what He wanted for them. He showed them a vision in Revelation of a place called heaven and how wonderful and grand it was. He wanted them to know what it was. Help your children to see the grand thing that you have for them. Help them to be the right kind of people. Help them to know the right kind of people to be around. Help them to understand those things that will help them to be able to overcome the world that they're living in. Because they're living in a world that's not that good. They're living in a world that's pulling them away from God and away from the church and away from doing what's right. But you show them the best place in the world is home. Some kids know that. They come back home. And that's okay for a period of time. But you help them to understand they need to get their own home and they need to establish that. Because they need to learn to stand. They've got a responsibility to teach others. Fathers need to be able to do that. Fathers need to be able to help their children. A father should help his children to know about the future. A father should help to teach his children about the future in such a way it will help them to reach the future. Now please understand, your children may not go into the profession that you think they need to go into. That makes no difference at all. That makes no difference at all. They may not make the money that you would like for them to make. That makes no difference at all. It doesn't make any difference what your children do, except they need to be faithful to God. That's more important than anything else. I don't care if they take a job that doesn't pay any money. No big deal. If they can get by on it, that's okay. But you help them to see that they need to be God's people first. And when you're old and gray, and when you're looking at the last of your life, and you look back and you see them as their leaders in the church, you see them as their people who are following God's way and trying to do God's way, and they're trying to be a good father, that's when you rejoice. That's when you realize it's all worth it. It's a shame we got to wait till we get there. I hope we see it when we have those children. How wonderful it is to have children. How wonderful it is to see them as they serve God. That's more important than anything else. Chuck all this other stuff. You're a success if you have that. You're a success if you're a child that serves God. And you help your parents to see that you're going to do the will of God. God wants you to do the best thing. God wants you to be the best father you can be. That's what He desires more than anything else. Today you may be thinking, well, you know, that preacher was talking about fathers and I'm not the best one in the world. Well, join the band, people. The rest of us are there too. I wish I could have been a better father. You look back when you get older and you see, I should have done this and I should have done that. It doesn't do any good to go back through all that. You do the best you can. And you let your children know, sorry about that. Didn't know now. Help them to know it. How wonderful it is to be a father. To hold that child and to whisper in their ear, God loves you and I love you too. And there's nothing you can do to keep me from not loving you. I'm going to do that. Let your children know you love them. Hug them, kiss them, whatever.